This week on the Out of Chicago podcast, we have street photographer Thomas Luthard. Welcome to the Out of Chicago Photography Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Smith, and the very first thing I'm going to do is apologize. I apologize to you guys, and I apologize to Thomas Luthard, because I interviewed Thomas back in August, and I have just gotten so busy with so many other things that it never happened. But here it is. It's an amazing interview. Thomas is a fantastic street photographer. He's from Switzerland, and he's going to be coming to Chicago for the Out of Chicago Photography Conference. I mean, this isn't just a normal thing. I mean, there's not many chances you can get to work with a guy like this. We're bringing him all the way in from Switzerland. He's going to be teaching you everything he knows. He's going to be giving you all of his secrets. He's actually doing two pre-conference workshops. We've added a second one because the first one sold out. There are still a few spots left in that first conference for that Thursday, June 25th. And he's also going to be talking about how to get your stuff seen on Flickr, and how to work social media, and how to do street photography. He's doing all of that in addition to the pre-conference workshop. So here we go, our interview with Thomas Luthard. Thank you very much for joining us, Thomas.
Thanks for being on the show.
Oh, of course. I want to say first, before we begin, that I probably 6 months ago would say that I hated street photography. I just, nothing about it was nothing I wanted to do, and it was not something I was interested in following, and following other street photographers. But once I found your work and Marie Laigneau and Valerie Jardin, but especially yours, I want to say, I am super excited about doing street photography now. So thank you very much for that.
You're welcome.
So let's see here. How would you describe your photography and how it's different than other people's? Because as I said, there's something about yours that all of a sudden, once I started following your work on Facebook and on Flickr, at that point, I was like, okay, this is actually really cool. What do you think it is that makes yours different than everyone else when I was turning up my nose to it?
That's an interesting question. I just capture what I see. I don't ask the people. I don't set up anything. I just go there, take the shot, and walk away. And I try to keep it simple, like I try to keep it clean, so no noisy backgrounds, not too much in the frame. Try to focus on the story or on the main subject. And I sometimes are very strict with me to just select the best pictures. I publish once a day, but still take probably, I don't know, I publish one out of 100 or something like that. So it's difficult to shoot so much. I travel quite a lot, but I also try to select only the best pictures.
Yeah, that's an important part for any photographer, I think, but especially for street photography, that you're going to take a lot that no one else will ever see, I think, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. I have plenty of them. I always choose like 3 to 5% out of the shots I take, put them in an upload folder, and then take out of this folder the ones I will publish. And this folder contains about 900 shots currently, and probably most of them I will delete because they are not good enough anymore.
Wow. Do you ever go back and look at old ones that you never had put in that folder and find ones that you didn't like at the time but you like now?
This happens only when I don't have enough material, current material, then I go a bit back to look if there is something good there, because I collect all the raw files on an external hard drive from all the trips I did, as long as this hard drive has enough space. But after probably 2 or 3 years, I will probably have to delete them because the hard drive would be full. So I will, one day I have to go through all of them before I delete the bad ones. But I go back to select some of them sometimes, yes.
Yeah, I find that I do that sometimes, and maybe it's different because I do a lot of post-processing and I know you don't, but I'll find a new idea with post-processing and be like, oh, this shot that I didn't like 5 years ago, now I can find something to do with it. But okay. That makes sense. All right, so when you started, I think I read in one of your ebooks that you started shooting a lot of architecture. Is that correct?
That's correct. I shot architecture. I did portraits of all the friends I had and did a basic photography course where you do like everything from close-ups to landscape and everything. And architecture was a big part at the beginning, yes.
And what was it that happened that made you say, no, it's got to be street photography?
I was always interested in people, in human, in faces, but not the ones you make up or you set up in a studio. I wanted to see the people on the street without any makeup, without asking, just capturing the real life. And that's why I got away from everything I did and just wanted to shoot on the street.
Now, do you think that background in architecture has to affect your shots? Because, I mean, some of my favorite shots of yours are the ones where you've got this amazing geometry in the background, super simple, great straight lines, and then the person coming through the thing. You think that had to have affected your photography now, right?
Yes, definitely. That's what you can see, that I came from a little bit of architecture photography.
Now, I know that when you're walking around, you're always looking for interesting faces, like you say. Are you also at times looking for that architecture too?
Yes, I probably look for a lot of different things. I normally don't have a project on my mind. Also, I suggest that to everybody asking how to get better in street photography. But me, myself, I don't very seldom have a project on my mind. I just walk down the streets. I see like some lines or architecture, and then I wait until the right person walks into the frame. But on the other side, I just look for interesting people, interesting faces. So either I go very close to shoot people very closely, the ones I'm very interested in, and sometimes I just shoot architecture with a person in it.
Now, will you follow these people, or is it they'll be coming toward you and you just happen to grab the shot quickly? Or, I mean, will you actually kind of go after people at all or not?
It depends. Sometimes you see somebody and you have to maybe wait until he stands still, like on a zebra crossing or a traffic light or wherever. Or you see somebody who has an interesting style or dress or pattern on the dress, and you see maybe somewhere else a pattern on the wall, and then you wait until this matches together. But normally I just walk around, look at people, and then take the shot instantly.
And do you want people to notice you, or do you try and get the shot before they'll see you?
Most of the times they really look into my camera, but I try to take the shot within the first fraction of a second, because when they see me, then there will be a reaction, either a smile or an angry face or anything. I would like to capture them before they get this reaction. But I would like to have them looking into the camera, because this adds quite a lot to a shot.
Yeah, and I heard you say that in a different interview. I just wanted to hear you say that again. I thought that was so interesting, that fraction of a second. They notice, but they haven't had a chance to react. That was very cool. So let's see. You said you do a lot of travel. I know you go all over the world. What are some of your favorite cities to shoot?
I like the eastern part of Europe. I was in Armenia. I was in Asian part, like Istanbul or Beirut, Lebanon. I was in Mumbai, India, which was very interesting. I haven't been to the other side of the world a lot. I haven't been to South America. I haven't been a lot to Africa. So there are still a lot of places to travel to.
And do you think that you're traveling? This is kind of weird, but do you think that you're traveling because you want to get new street photos, or is traveling just kind of in your blood and because you're doing street photography, you're able to travel?
It's probably a bit of both, because if I would have to shoot the same amount of pictures in Switzerland, it would get very difficult, because when you go to Zurich, the biggest city in Switzerland, you just cannot go there more than once a month, because you get bored. It's the same thing every time. So that's the advantage of traveling, that you always see new things, fresh pictures, new cultures, faces. So this adds a lot to my, let's say, creativity, or it's just a new view, and opens my mind as well. So it's like both. I like to travel and I like to shoot, and I'm not sure if I do it for traveling or for shooting. It's probably just both of it.
No, sure. So a lot of your photos, they're taken all over the place. But I think the really interesting thing is that your photos actually have like a timeless, almost like locationless quality about them. Like you could look at any of them. They could have been taken at any time, anywhere. But that's interesting what you say now, that it's actually that just seeing new people, seeing new places kind of stirs your creativity. But would you agree about the whole timeless thing?
Yeah, sometimes I try to do that, or I like when I can really capture it. It's sometimes difficult because when people use modern devices like mobile phones or whatever, then you really see that it's a current picture. But when you travel to certain places which are not that developed, then you have greater chances of making timeless pictures.
Yeah, and I remember Marie-Lene Yo saying that when I went out to shoot with her, and she said that if I see someone sitting there on their phone, I'm not even going to try. And I don't know that she's going for a timeless thing, but that's just something in particular she tries to avoid. Is that the same? If someone's on their phone, do you try and avoid that shot altogether?
Yes, because it's like something you see at every corner. Right. Today it's very popular. Maybe in 10 or 20 years this would be a very interesting scene to see, because it's not the same anymore. But today that's like very boring.
Yeah, maybe that's when you'll want to go back and look at your old photos and find it where everyone was texting. That was such a weird thing. Yeah, I guess.
It's just a time that it's just you see too many of the same things, and then it's not interesting anymore.
Of course, yeah. All right, so here's my first crazy question. I read in an interview that you did that you spent like 10 years working to improve your golf game. Well, first off, tell us a little bit about that. You're a big golfer, is that right, or you were?
I was playing golf for about 10 or 12 years, right? Okay. But then I just stopped for something else. I was having enough. It happens quite a lot that I do something for 5 years or something, and then I get bored and do something else. And I'm not sure if this will happen to photography as well, but at the moment it doesn't look like. But still, after 5 years of street photography, it's more difficult to find motivation to go out, to find and see new things. That's why the traveling helps a lot to keep me motivated.
So here's the real question then. Do you see any similarities? You put all that time, and you're a very thoughtful person. There's no doubt about that. You think about what you're doing a lot. Do you see any similarities between trying to improve your golf game and getting better at street photography?
Yes, I think so, because it's all about training, all about being into it, to want to become better. It's when I like something, I can really spend hours and hours of doing the same thing just because I like it, and then I'm very motivated to get better. And the same thing was in golf. I just wanted to get a handicap, to get a low handicap. I had a handicap of 17.9, which is quite good for an average, or for a for a person who works full time next to it.
Exactly.
And I spent probably four to five days of a week on the golf course.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I was a golfer myself, and I kind of was the same thing when I had kids. I don't play a lot of golf anymore. And then I got a new camera when the kids were born. And yeah, well, look where we are now, huh? It's all photography. It's crazy. So here's another crazy question. What type of street photography is there that's out there that you don't like? What is it about some of the street photos out there you don't like?
I don't like to see pictures which have a lot of comments and likes and whatever, and I don't see what's all about. And then I'm wondering if I don't see the point, or people just like it. I don't know. So sometimes I just don't understand what's about a certain shot, why people like it, because I don't see what's so special about it.
That's how I felt about a lot of street photography. But people do seem to like it, and they seem to keep commenting and, you know, liking it. And I've never really understood it for a lot of street photographers. Like, I see just people like the weird expressions on their face, and it's like, well, that's not really a photo. And I think that's a big difference between a lot of what I see and your shots. I think a lot of your shots, even though you say you do them quickly, there's a lot of thought put into it with the backgrounds and with the geometry and with the expressions and all that put together. So I don't know. So yeah, I think you're right. It's hard to pinpoint what it is you don't like. It's like sometimes you just see the photo and you're like, well, I'm not even sure what I'm supposed to like about it. Right?
Yes, I cannot explain it in detail, but when I see something really weird or really interesting, like repeating things like colors or patterns or whatever, when you really think this can't be true, then I think the person did a very well job. But when I don't see it, sometimes I doubt myself. If I just don't see it, maybe I I don't get the point. And then the problem is you cannot ask the person if you don't know the guy, and you cannot write in a comment what's all about. It's a bit silly when you don't see it and everybody else does.
Yeah, so yeah. You don't want to comment. I don't get it. What's the big deal? Yeah.
Yes.
They don't like that.
Because I saw a comment of a guy asking what is all about on a very, very good street photograph of Sigrid Hansen. And everybody was saying, oh, shit, he shouldn't ask that question because it's so obvious, it's so great, but he didn't see it. So it's very embarrassing if you would ask the question while everybody sees it.
That's funny. Yeah, all that too. You're right. All right. Tell us about the ebooks you've done. You've got how many different ebooks out there now?
I think there are about 5 of them, 3 about street photography in English, 1 about Flickr in English, and 1 about street photography in German.
Yeah, and I think the first one I read was the Flickr one, because I was, you know, doing everything I could to get more followers and stuff on Flickr. And your book that you did, and they're all free, by the way, which thank you very much. That's amazing. But the one on Flickr, I mean, that's a huge help. Anyone that hasn't gone out there and read that Flickr book, if you're trying to get more people to follow you and do a better job on Flickr, that's a great book. They're not super long, but you get right to the point, and you really made some great points on there, too. So I appreciate that.
Yes, the goal was just to understand Flickr better. So I thought while I'm researching, I can write everything down and then publish it as an ebook that everybody can get advantage of it.
Yeah. Now, what was the very first one that you did for the street photography?
The first one was called Going Candid about two or three years ago. Can't remember.
And you talk about the biggest difficulty with street photography for new street photographers. You talk about, dealing with your fear of shooting strangers, right? That's probably the most difficult thing that people have a hard time with, right, when they're first starting?
Yes, either the fear or the law in certain countries. The Germans are very afraid of the law because it's quite strict. And half of the people are afraid of the law and the other half is afraid of their own fear that they cannot shoot strangers, so they cannot go that close, and I help them getting over the fear.
All right, so here's my one big question for you then about that book, is that I remember in the beginning you said you just have to get over your fear. Nothing's going to happen. It's going to be fine. No one's going to say anything to you. You're not going to get beat up, right? You agree with all that?
Yes, sure.
But then I also remember later in the book you said, make sure that you wear good running shoes because you're going to need to run at some point. Did you say that too?
Yes, I wrote that somewhere. I think it was just a joke.
Oh, okay.
But you also need good shoes because you walk through the city, you walk through different streets with a lot of... Yes, first of all, you look always to the people and you still have to walk on difficult terrain. So good shoes is good and comfortable shoes as well. And if you can run with them, even better.
Have you ever had to run?
Very, very seldom.
So sometimes?
No, actually, I think once I had to run because I didn't want to delete the shot, so I just didn't talk to the guy, just run away. But this is probably once of 1,000 or something like that.
Because that will happen sometimes if someone talks to you and they'll ask you to delete it. You'll delete it, right?
Yes, I sometimes try to talk myself out to just give them an example why I would like to keep it or what I do. And of course, I don't tell them that I publish them on Flickr and Facebook because if you tell them that, they would have to delete it immediately. But of course, I delete if they would like me to delete it.
Yeah, because they're real insistent on it, of course. No, that's the right way to go about it. All right, so I'm going to have to ask you a little bit. Tell us about the equipment that you're using right now.
Currently, I use an Olympus OMD EM10. I say currently because this might change because I'm not that into the camera. For me, it's just a tool. And sometimes there are better cameras, worse cameras. There are nicer looking ones. I would always say that the camera is not that important, although it's still the tool you make the picture with. So you have to feel comfortable using it. You have to know how it's working and you have to take the shot at the moment you want to take it, and it has to work. That's the important thing, but it can be something else tomorrow.
And do you think that getting a new camera is kind of like going to a new city? You got to think about it a little bit differently, and maybe it kind of opens your brain up a little bit.
I think it's a big motivation to have a new camera, maybe for at least a week or a month. Depends what you had before, but I think today the cameras are not that different. When I buy a new one, there is not a big difference to the old previous one, because the previous one was not even old. So right. I think when you come from a DSLR and now have a mirrorless camera, then you probably see suddenly that people really don't recognize you as a photographer anymore. They just think that you are a tourist, and then you suddenly think that, yes, you can make your photos much easier because they don't see you.
And you were using the EM1, and now you've gone to the EM10 because it's smaller. Is that the main reason?
There were actually two reasons. The size is a bit smaller, and I didn't want to make my picture with the top gear of Olympus because I didn't want the people to think that you have to have the best camera. And the EM10 can do everything I need for street photography, so why should I have a bigger or a better camera when I just use like 20 or 30% of it?
That's so interesting, because I just interviewed a macro photographer here in the U.S., Mike Motes, and he said the exact same thing. He said he teaches workshops almost every weekend. He said, I just wanted to show people that you can do it with just the average gear. It's good gear, but it doesn't need to be the top of the line. And see, that's what I'm doing, and that they can do the same thing. So you're on the other side of the world shooting a totally different kind of photography, but you said the exact same thing. It's kind of cool.
So, yes, and it's only half of the price of the EM1. So,
well, and so the EM10 is what I have, and that's the reason why it's yes. Half the price. But really, I mean, besides maybe a couple of frames per second and the weather sealing, I mean, they're almost identical. Is there anything you missed from the EM1?
The grip was much better, but I can live with that.
Have you bought the grip that goes on the bottom of it?
No, I just hold it as it is. It's you get used to it. It's fine, because the EM5 I had before had the same, more or less the same grip. Yeah. So it's comfortable if you have the EM1 grip, but you can really live without it.
And I saw you in your video course. You've got your Retrospective 5 and you've got your two cameras, and they both have, and we'll talk about the video course in a minute. And they both have their, you have like neck straps on both of them. Is that typically how you go around?
Yes, I started, since I have a mirrorless camera, I carry them around my neck because, first of all, it looks more like a tourist, which gives you a bit more credit from the people, because they think you're just snapping around. And it's comfortable when you have two cameras, one you hangs around your neck, the one you use more often, and the other one's in the bag. Some of the times I have, on the one in the bag, I have just a hand strap, because I don't use that often. It's just the one with a 45 millimeter I use for portraits or details I shoot. Basically, I don't need two cameras, but I still shoot portraits of people, and that's why I have it. But sometimes I think I just make 5 shots a day, and with the other one about 100 or 200. So it's not really worth carrying two cameras.
So you're wondering if maybe you just, well, that'd be great if you did that, because now that I'm thinking about it, I've tried to copy your entire collection of bags and gear and lenses and everything, and I didn't even quite realize it, but I think I have exactly what you have, but I don't have a second camera or the 45. So if you start not carrying those, then I'll be exactly what you have. Then I'll feel good about it.
Okay. No, I think the 45 is a good lens, and I like shooting portraits with it, but I would not change it on the street, because that's also not something I do. It just takes too much time, and you have to go to somewhere to change it. But you just have to, actually you should know at the beginning when you go out what you want to shoot, and then you take your camera you need for that, and you leave the other one at home. I think that's the best way.
I thought you told us not to have a project, or you said you don't, at least.
I don't do it, but I should have it, because it helps a lot to know what you want to see, and then you will see what you expect to see.
That's interesting. Jay Mazel, right?
Yes.
And he says to do exactly what you do. He's like, clear your mind of any preconceived thought as to what you might want to shoot. He says, go out and wait to see what you see. So you might actually be doing it right and telling everyone wrong.
I think it depends how long you do it. If you are a beginner, you just see too many things and then you cannot decide. If you really want to focus on just one thing, like one color or just hands or feet or bags or hats or whatever, you start seeing how many of these things are there, and you have not realized it before because you just looked at everything, and when you focus on one thing, you realize that there are so many same things out there when you just look for that.
That is excellent advice. And I bet you what happens is that if you spent five or six times going out and just shooting, like you said, bags or whatever, and then you didn't do it in the future, at least in the future when you didn't know what you were shooting, your eye would still be attuned to that.
Yes.
You know, and you just keep adding those to the things that your eye will be looking for.
And this really works because you normally just don't look that deep because you just look at the whole crowd or everything and then you miss the details. And if you look just for one detail, you realize that there are so many of the same thing out there.
All right. So we mentioned real quick this video course. Tell us about this course. It just came out in the last week, right? Tell us about it.
Yes, actually, I teach workshops from time to time, but since I travel quite a lot, I don't have too much time to teach also workshops because I have a 60% job from Monday to Friday, normally in the morning. So I didn't have the time to make too many workshops. So I decided just to put all the theory, all the things I have to tell to people into a video training, which is available online on udemy.com. That's a video training platform. And I think that was a good choice because there are a lot of people out there who would like to know how I do my shots, need more information. And since I just upload them and I wrote the books, but there are still some open questions. And I think with this video training, I answered all the questions they have.
Yeah, I know that I bought the course and I've been going through them and they're great. So I really appreciate it. I think there's just different things that you can teach when you're able to talk and show it rather than just write it down. Sometimes the ebooks I'm sure are better, but it's different.
Of course, it's different. It's when you would like to show like composition, you cannot do that very well in a book. It's a bit difficult. And when you can show it with a PowerPoint presentation with arrows and with the mouse, you can point and everything. It's much better to explain something like that in a video.
Yeah. Okay. So we will link to that and hopefully we get some of our out of Chicago people to sign up for it because it's an excellent course.
We can have a discount for all these people.
Oh, I was going to ask, but I didn't want you to say no. So
of course.
All
so
right.
you get 40% off with the code I will send you.
Fantastic. We will put that in the show notes for sure then. Thank you, Thomas. We appreciate that. All right, so let's see. I have other crazy questions, but they're all over the place. Let's pick one out of here. Can you give people tips? I know you wrote the whole book on Flickr. Well, actually, before you give a tip, you're on Flickr, you're on Google+, you're on Facebook, you're on all those. Are there ones I'm missing there too? Where else can we find all your stuff?
That was actually it. I didn't do... I was on 500px, but I got out of it, and I had a Twitter account, which I closed, and also Instagram I closed as well because I cannot be everywhere. And I just decided to be on Flickr, Facebook, and Google+.
Okay, so that's what I was going to ask you then is kind of why. I mean, what do you see as advantages? And of those three, even, which one's your favorite?
It's a bit difficult. Flickr I like because this is a photography playground, like a platform. Mm-hmm. And Facebook is more like a social media thing. Because on Flickr, you cannot chat with people. You cannot really talk to others. You just comment and favorite and upload and look at pictures. While on Facebook, you cannot really have a lot of photography features. You don't see any exif data. The quality of the pictures is not that good. But Facebook, everybody has. And if I would have to decide for one platform, it would be Flickr because it's more active. It's more about photography. But you cannot meet with people over Flickr because it's more difficult to get in contact with them. While on Facebook, I just upload like a photo and say I would be in a city next week and who would like to join for a photo walk. It's much easier on Facebook than on Flickr.
Yeah.
And Google Plus is something like in between, but it's closer to Facebook, and I have it because it's I have a lot of followers there, but I still think that this is not any more active at the moment. It used to be quite active about at the beginning with a lot of photographers, but now I think it's a bit quiet.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, sometimes it's hard to get a lot of communication there. Facebook, you're right, I think seems like the best one for communication. And I feel like if Flickr just changed a couple things, that they could be the winner for sure for photographers. But they, you comment on someone's photo and ask a question, and 1 out of 100 times you'll get a response back. I don't know if it's just a culture on there or they make it difficult to do. You agree, though? I mean, it just seems like the communication part is not there, right?
Yes, and the problem is I get a lot of comments on Flickr and I cannot read them all, so it's a bit difficult to respond to questions.
Well, that's because you have millions and millions of followers. But even people that don't have a lot of followers, if I ask them a quick question, I mean, I think the issue is more that they don't even know that it was there. Unless, like, if they posted the picture a year ago and I go comment on it, I'm not even sure that they're alerted. I think you maybe could tag them in there, but that doesn't even seem to show up. It just seems very, it doesn't make it easy to communicate with people on Flickr, like you said in the beginning, I think.
That's right. You have a communication by email, but normally you switch that off because you get too many emails about nothing special, and then you miss the people who comment on a picture you uploaded some time ago. That's right.
Right. Okay, but that's interesting that you don't even do the Instagram and the 500px. Do you have tips for people? I mean, you did the whole Flickr thing, but do you have some tips just in general on social media? Or for people to get more followers? Or do you think it's just basically you got to post the photos? Because, I mean, I know that's why I started following you, is just simply your photos. What do you think?
So first, the main thing is to have a kind of a strategy to just use all these platforms in the same way, that you post the same things everywhere. On all the platforms, you would like to do something. Because your followers will follow you maybe just on one of the platforms, and then they should not miss something on Facebook, which you will probably put up on Flickr. And of course, the quality of the pictures is the most important thing. So don't publish too many pictures, not at the same time. Upload them on a regular basis. It can be weekly or monthly or daily, depending how much material you have. But do it on a regular basis. Because when you upload 5 pictures in a row and then nothing for a month, these 5 pictures will not be looked at with the same intensity as you would upload them every week. So like single pictures every week. And I think you just keep being active, write with people or comment to people and get a communication started. And then over time, people will recognize and realize you.
Yeah, no, I agree. You had some crazy ideas, though. I mean, I'm going to have people, we'll link to your Flickr book, but some crazy ideas that kind of worked crazy well, where it was like, go to a group with photographers that do the same thing as you, basically add like every member that you can in there, and a ton of them will add you back. And it ended up, you know, creating a lot of traffic for me. So I don't know. It's things that, I don't know. You're just a smart guy. Thank you, Thomas.
Yes, I thought quite a lot about Flickr. And that's the thing, when I'm interested in something, I can really spend hours and hours on finding out how it works and how I can somehow trick the system or find some interesting or creative ideas to get more followers in that
case. Yeah, no, but what I love is that you've got that down, but you got amazing photos too. And other people are trying all these crazy things with terrible photos, and then they're like, well, it doesn't work. I don't get it. So you got to have both. So
yes, of course.
You got that for sure. All right. The last thing I'm going to ask you. I'm going to say this first and then I'll ask the question. So some people say that you should have your camera with you all the time, or they say, I've got my iPhone. The best camera is the camera that's with you, you know, the camera that you have. But I have always felt kind of weird about that whole thing. I'm the type that if I'm going out to do photography, I'm going to get in the zone to do photography, whereas other people are like, I could be totally thinking about something else, and then I turn around and take this shot. Where do you fall in that camp? Are you, do you need to kind of get in the zone, or do you always have a camera with you?
I don't have always a camera with me. First of all, my way to work is very boring and very short, so it's not something, because if I would travel by train through a big train station. I'll probably carry my camera all the time, but I'm just like five stops and there's nothing happened on the way. So when I go out to shoot, then I have my camera with me. And if I go out for anything else, I don't take it with me because I often am not that concentrated. If I just go shopping or going for a walk or something, I don't take my camera because you really have to be in the mood to take pictures.
That's what I wanted to hear. Like everything yes. else, everything else that you say in all your books and everything I read, I just agree with everything you say. It's like all the same thoughts that I've always had and you just put them down in words and I love it. So I was glad to hear you feel the same way as me on that one. Because I just, if I'm out, like you said, shopping, I'm not the type to be like, oh, I just found the most amazing photo. Let me grab my iPhone, turn around and snap it. I feel like I need to kind of get geared up a little bit to get to that point. So, all right. No, that proves it. We're on the same wavelength. So tell us a little bit, how can we find you online? Of course, I'll put links to everything, all your sites, but where can we go to find you online?
The best thing is to go to thomas.leuthard.photography. That's my URL. And there you find all the links to social media. Or you just enter Thomas Leuthard in Google and then you find also a lot of other stuff like interviews or my pictures or books, whatever.
Yeah, no, that's what I was doing. I love it. And there's so much of it that's out there for free. So you guys want to go check him out. All right. Thank you so much, Thomas. Really appreciate it. Good luck to you. All right. Thank you. We'll be following your photos. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. It was great to be on the show.
All right. Thanks, Thomas. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So if you haven't seen Thomas's work, you really just got to go check it out. He's amazing. Love his stuff. So go head over to those sites and you're going to see some great photos. Now, at the time when we recorded this, we hadn't nailed it down. I didn't know for sure that he was coming this summer, but he totally is. And I am pumped about it. So let me just tell you real quick. He's leading a couple of photo walks. Like I said, we did a Friday pre-conference workshop, sold out right away. So we added one for Thursday, small group, 10 people, and it is selling out right now. It's got a few spots left. So if you're interested in going with Thomas Leuthard to do that, you want to sign up right away. But he is also going to be talking and doing his course, Finding Success on Flickr and Social Media. And his big talk is going to be the 10 Commandments of Street Photography. So you want to come to Chicago, you want to be here, you want to see him, it's going to be great. You go to outofchicago.com/conference and everything you need to know is there. Sign up and I'll see you there. You know, hey, I'm teaching too. That'll be great. Learn about photographing Chicago. And you know me, I love to shoot it at night. So we'll be talking a little night photography as well. So all sorts of people there. Brian Peterson, Mike Motes, Elia Locardi, Thomas Leuthard, Marie Lagneau, and Valerie Jardin. So lots of great people. Well, I made it sound like those are the only people, like 20 other people. So some amazing people. Go to outofchicago.com/conference and you'll see all the speakers. So thank you so much to Thomas Leuthard, and you're going to get to hang out with him this summer if you come. It's going to be great. And we will talk to you next week. And this time it did take me a week to get it out. Next week we'll get another one to you. So thanks for hanging out at the Out of Chicago podcast. See you next week.